guys are great. Unbelievable. Listen, I'm excited about this weekend because last weekend was unbelievable. Jesus resurrected, if you didn't know that. And also a lot of people resurrected. And every campus, you did such a good job, Florida, and all the locations of inviting and bringing your friends that were far from Jesus. And they loved it. And then now, of course, this weekend, we'll be baptizing people at all the campuses, every single one of them. And we want you today at the end to, even if you don't know anybody, go out there and hang out with people who are getting celebrated, because it's amazing the life stories and changes that we hear of people that don't have good families. And you might not have came from a good family, but a good family can come from you. And so it's important as they see other people's families celebrating that the family of God celebrates. So at every campus today, I want you to just go out and go crazy after all those people. Would that be all right if we do that? That's what we're gonna do. Today, we're getting ready to tackle a subject for the next 4 weeks on things like depression, suicide, anxiety. I think we've all had, you know, dark nights of the soul. And I think many times the enemy tries to make us think that if you're depressed or you have anxiety, there's something wrong with you. I mean, something's wrong with you. But if you got a kidney failure, you're not like, oh man, I'm really embarrassed to talk about that. If you got a heart problem, you're not embarrassed to talk about that. But whenever it talks up here, you're like, oh my gosh, people are gonna think something's weird with me or something's wrong with me. And so then we internalize. And so something we've done great as a nation is we've gotten very, you know, technological, and we can all reach out through social media. And so studies are now proving, though, that people are more connected than ever, yet less connected than ever. And they're lonely. And one thing that comes for sure is the enemy comes in loneliness and makes you feel lonely. Now, no judgment on this whatsoever. But I do this, and I think some of you do it. I walk through a restaurant and I'll see like even teenagers, like six teenagers at a table. They're all with each other, but they're really not with each other because they got their phone and they're talking to somebody else. In fact, sometimes I think they're actually texting to each other at the table because they're laughing like, hey, who's the old guy that's trying to dress young? I don't know what they're saying, but I have my own stuff going on. Raise your hand if you've seen that, okay? So the enemy has separated us and made us feel like there was something wrong with us, and really what we're doing is we're internalize. Now, I wanna put up this slide. I want this statement. You can get out your phone if you'd like at any campus, and I want you to take a note of this. Self-discipline begins with the mastery of your thoughts. If you don't control what you think, you can't control what you do. This works with drug addiction, alcohol addictions, because where the mind goes, the man follows. I actually just saw today on TikTok a little two-minute interview with Ben Affleck, and they were asking him questions about, is it hard not to drink anymore? And he started talking about the loneliness that he experienced, the depression that he experienced, really from unresolved childhood trauma. See, sometimes we're actually dealing with things today that actually should have been dealt with yesterday, but now we've internalized all this and we think we don't want to talk about it because people would think something's wrong with me, and you're the one who got abused, but now you're really being used and abused because you're alone with your thoughts. And so then we run, Ben did, to the bottle. Some people run to pornography. Other people run to pain pills. Everybody does something different. Some people run to the casino. You don't have to raise your hand on any of this. But how many of y'all have seen people run and look for love at all the wrong places, and they're trying to cover up or mask up what they can't control? And research and statistics have shown now that one in three people experience mental illness. So today, Florida, if you're sitting in the middle right now, if it's not the guy on the left and it's not the girl on the right, it'd be you right now. And as long as we're living in this people planet in 2023 and we've got real issues and real emotions, and gas is high and interest is high and people are high, right? We got all this trauma and drama, and not only is research showing this, but the Bible has shown this for a long time. David had all these ups and downs. When we read about the story in the life of King David, all the depression that he had, he was a deep feeler. When he was alone, sanctioned off, writing songs, he was also alone with his thoughts. But if you don't teach yourself the pattern of thought interruption, you've had knee surgery, you've had elbow surgery, they've had shoulder replacement, they do all these replacements, but many times people don't practice thought replacement. So we have to grab those thoughts that come and say, okay, it's coming to me right now, and it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay not okay. But if you're alone with your thoughts, especially if you're a macho guy or a macho girl, I didn't say nachos, but they do sound good about right now. Okay, then we're always trying to think, I can't admit to anybody because I'm a tough guy. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means that you probably have injured your central nervous system, and these neurons that fire together and wire together right now, this chemical factory that you have called the brain, is experiencing release when you do that thing. In Ben's case, we talked a minute ago about him, and it was alcohol. Whatever the vice is, it drops dopamine in your brain, serotonin calms you down, and now for a minute you get relief. But what if I told you that if you could learn the principles in the Bible, that you could actually overcome it and you wouldn't have to abuse or be an abuser, because hurt people do hurt people, but heal people. And when you come to church and get around the right people, come on, somebody ought to shout amen, then God heals you internally. My dad, Vietnam, Highway Patrol Academy, tough guy. I just got married. Actually, that's a whole nother story, another sermon for another time. But I got married at 18 when I knew everything. Wish I could have hired myself while I knew everything. And I just got married, and my dad calls me at like 2 a.m. This is, show you how long ago this was. We had phones that you plugged into the wall. Some of you don't even know what that is. For real, they had phones that plugged into the wall. And if you're really old, you'll remember talking to your girlfriend on the phone with a 14-foot cord, and you're just talking and you're walking around. Come on, raise your hand if you're old enough to do this. And then all of a sudden you heard a click, click, and you knew your nosy mama was probably on the phone. So you better stop talking. You hang up. I hang up. Who am I talking to today? That was the phone. Yeah. So now my dad calls me on the phone, and he's crying. It's 2 a.m. And he says, I need to talk to somebody. I'm not okay. I thought, my God, what in the world's going on? But he didn't have a lot of friends, but he felt like he was losing it, and he didn't know who to tell, but he knew that I loved him. Here's a point I need you to understand right now. You need to be around some people that you know got your back. You're only as sick as your secrets. You don't have to tell everybody, but you gotta find somebody that you can tell, and it can't just be Jesus. You got to get in a group and around some people, because the enemy tries to take you and get you alone to get you disconnected, because when you're disconnected, you lose purpose, and the enemy has his way with you. So now, long story short, my dad has these breakdowns. He goes and talks to a counselor and a psychiatrist, and they prescribe some medicinal help that really helped him. Now, I also want to say that sometimes it can be a little bit hereditary. Now, it doesn't mean just because your mom or dad had mental illness or had some trauma in their past, it does not mean that that's going to define you. It just means that it's in your family tree, but your destiny has forked with Jesus 2,000 years ago, but you gotta learn how to think. And that's why some of you are gonna get baptized today. I feel good about this sermon right now. I feel chains breaking. Now, so my dad had listen to this. It can't just be relationships, it has to be meaningful. Everybody shout that with me, meaningful. So my dad didn't have a lot of friends. He actually had an unhealthy relationship with me, as in a codependent relationship, because he knew that I loved him, I would do whatever, and because I was a pleaser, I pleased him so he could call me. So then I think even some of the tipping point was, now his best friend has now moved out and is living with his wife, which also just was the straw that broke the camel's back. It won't make sense to everybody, but if any of your family have ever like seen more than 4 episodes of Jerry or Maury and identified with it, raise your hand if you're with me on this, okay. So now my dad didn't have meaningful connection, and so now there's this disconnection, and now he's actually injured his central nervous system. And when you injure that, your mind is a chemical factory. And the more I encourage you to do this, watch TED Talks about your body. Watch TED Talks about alternative medicine. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, yet we treat it like a tent. So there's certain things that you can do even biologically that can help you. And so for a long time here in America, we say, okay, you're something's wrong, and a counselor looks at people, and I hate it when they say this. They go, hey, some people just have some chemical imbalances in their head, and something's wrong with you, and these pills will help. And I'm not against pills helping. But I think that sometimes it masks the root, and it treats the fruit, but it doesn't really fix the root. And then now, 6 months later, they're on medicine, but we have to up the medicine, and now they feel like I'm numb, plus it caused all these other problems. Does this make sense at all? Raise your hand at all the campuses. So what we have to do as a body of believers is say, the meaningful relationships that we have cannot just be unhealthy relationships with our family, as in nothing weird with me and my dad, other than he loved me a lot and wanted to be with me, and I was his best friend, but he needed to find some other friends. So this goes for everybody. Let's talk about young people for a minute. If all your relationships are meaningful, but you've only got one relationship, and that relationship is with your mom and dad, I love that. I'm not trashing that. I like that. But you need to have more than just your mom and dad that are your best friends. And you need to have more than just one friend. Because if this friend freaks out, and you're a one-friend friend. I know it looks like I'm on a side journey, but I'm helping 13-year-old girls stop cutting themselves right now. You need more than one friend. You need Jesus, he's a friend. But then you need to be in Rev Students with a bunch of other friends. Somebody ought to shout amen. And you need to go to Rev Con so there is other people that say, hey, we're gonna have meaningful relationships together. You gotta have that. Because if the enemy can get you alone, separate you from the herd, that's where he gets to thinking, he's got you. Now, the scripture for this today that I want to share with you and real quick is in 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. Elijah is this old prophet, and he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods deal with me, and be it ever so severely, by this time tomorrow, if I don't make your life like one of them. So verse 3 says, Elijah was what? Shout it with me, class. Was afraid. Shout it. What was he?
Afraid.
It's a national emotion. Fear has torment. So he immediately gets afraid and he ran for his life. What do we do? We get afraid. I'm afraid something's wrong with me, so I'm gonna run for my life. I'm gonna run away from people that love me. I'm gonna run away from security. I'm gonna run away and I'm gonna get alone. You don't need to be alone with your thoughts. You need to be in a group, in a community with people that meaningfully love you and they're not trying to use or abuse you, but this is exactly, he's making mistakes like crazy. He went to Beersheba in Judah. Check this out. I underlined this for you. He left his servants there. Shout at Florida. What did he do?
He left his servants there.
This is what we do. We say, oh, I don't want you to be a part of this. I want to drag you down. I don't want you to put you in the middle of this mess. He's the servant, he's there to help him, but he says, I don't want you to help me, I want to be alone. You need to say in your mind this weekend, I'm gonna figure out some new friends, and I'm gonna figure out a new way to live because I'm not gonna live in this mental torment any longer. Because if you're 13 and you're cutting and you're suicidal, if you're confused about, you know, your relationship with your parents or even confused about who you are, that's what the world is, it's full of confusion. The devil says, and we know what he comes to do. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God said, I've come that you might have life. So this weekend at all of our campuses, I want to reset your mind and reset your thinking that you can't do the wilderness alone. Everybody shout that with me. You can't do the wilderness alone. Verse 4. While he himself, when a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, he sat down, and he prayed that he might die. Notice this guy's so spiritual that he wants to commit suicide, but his weapon of choice is prayer. You know you're in a... He says, hey, God, kill me. This is the guy that called down fire from heaven, called rain down from heaven, had exterminated things that it was trying to exterminate God, yet now he's mentally depleted, and he's suicidal. He says, I have had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. In other words, he just passed out from exhaustion. He's got mental anguish, but he can't really sleep, but he's so tired, he freaks out, and he just, have you ever just worried yourself so sick? You just exhausted yourself and you're just like, and you just woke up and thought, oh my God, it wasn't a dream. I'm still in this hell of a mess. This is where he's at right now. And all at once, an angel came and touched him and said, get up and eat. Look around. and there by his head was some cake. God brings him a supernatural jar of water and a cake. He ate and he drank, and then what did he do? He lay down again. What did he do? Shout it, class, why? Just humor me one more time. What did he do? See, you have emotional needs and you have physical needs. How many of y'all have never went more than 21 days without eating? Raise your hand. How many of you like me and have never went 14 days without eating? How many of you like me and have never went more than 7 days without eating, right? Because you need to eat. So we know we need to eat. We know we need to drink. And we know we need to sleep. See, some of you are so exhausted and your mind is so wandering and your screen time is so staring away all of your time with friends, all of your time with family. You go, I'm connected. I got all these friends and I got 57 likes. Well, maybe you only need 3 likes, but there are 3 likes that really like you and they know who you are and they know what you are, and whether you're good or you're bad, they still love you. Is this making sense? So we're more connected than ever, yet we're more disconnected than ever. The angel of the Lord, verse 7, came to him a second time, touched him and said, get up, we're gonna do this again. It's gonna take a while for you to get better. Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank again, and he was strengthened by the food, and he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. And I love this part. Pay attention right here. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, what are you doing here? I don't think it was like, what are you doing here? God's not that kind of God. He just asked a question like, what are you doing here? We just took you out of this mess. You had angels bring you angel food cake. Oh, it was like, where was it invented? It had like Cool Whip all over the top of it. You had the best fresh drinking water. I did all this cool stuff. And then you're traveling forward and now you went back into a cave. See, we tend to go back to what is familiar. So if we were depressed once, we were depressed again. So we call all the same people and we go back to the same places. In other words, we return to the scene of the crime. So God asked the question, what are you doing here? And that's what I gotta ask you today. What are you doing here? Why are you playing with this situation? Why aren't you getting all the way in with God? Why aren't you in a small group? I'm telling you more than ever, if it's not just for you, it's for your kids. You need to model this behavior because they need to get out of life what they deserve. And that's peace, tranquility, love, joy, satisfaction, running, riding their bikes. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. No Oregon. Watch what he does though. He's in the cave. Verse 10, he replied. Here's what he says back to God. If it's a text, it sounds like this. I've been very zealous for you, Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected me in your covenant. They torn down the altars. They put the prophets to death with a sword, and I'm the only one left. And they're trying to kill me too. Anybody ever been there? Okay, not a lot of people in St. Louis are voting, but Florida. I know you're with me on this. Anybody ever worked yourself up into realizing that, you know what, people just don't care for me like they should, and I've worked my butt off and I did all the laundry and I did everything that I could to be a good mom. I did everything I could to be a good dad. I even took the little jokers to soccer. They gave me the stupid world's best dad shirt. Didn't mean nothing. I think they bought it at Goodwill. They just did. I don't even know why. Okay, so. Let's just try this again. Have you ever been there? This is where he's at right now. So verse 11, after he says all this stuff to God, then the Lord said, everybody shouted, come on, Florida, why? The Lord said, go out and stand at the front of the mountain. He didn't say go to the valley. He said, stand at the front of the mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by. I want to say today, come out of the cave, stand in the presence of the Lord, get baptized today. I'm not ready. We're ready. What prevents you from getting baptized? Get in church, stay in church, go to church. Whatever you do, focus on the promise, not the problem. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him. 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, 3. Then check this out. God does this really fancy show. This great, powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After that, there was a wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came, then a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after all the big dog and pony show and the fireworks were over, Elijah heard it. And he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Sometimes we're wanting God to do this big thing. And God's saying, I want you to pull the cloak, the depression garment off of yourself. I want you to put on the garments of praise for the spirit of happiness. And I want everybody hearing me today around the world to know you're not in this alone and there's nothing wrong with you. And God is with you and I am with you. And wherever the enemy tries to attack you, we're all staying together. If you attack one of us, you're gonna have to fight the whole trailer park, because I was weak and people helped me, and you were weak and people helped you. We all gotta stand together in this hour. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, so I'm with you on this. Pulled his cloak over his face. He went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, here's God again. What are you doing here, Elijah? Whenever God asks you a question two times, it's not like he has dementia. He's got Alzheimer's disease. God's trying to ask you a question. Why are you here again? You know you're not supposed to be alone. You know you always do this. You know you always self-sabotage. You know when you get in a relationship, you always just try to mess it up somehow because of the pain in your past, because of unresolved conflict. And so God is asking you, hey, why are you self-sabotaging? I made this little graph today. I didn't make it, but I visioneered it and I put it together, and I want you to look at this graph. Self-sabotage. Anybody ever done that? I want to try it again, either or not. I'm just curious because I got to preach a bunch more sermons this Sunday, and I got to make sure that what the ratio is. For real, I want participation. Don't do it. If you have, don't lie to me. But have you ever self-sabotaged? Okay. Why do we do that? Sometimes we do that because we don't think we deserve love, or because we've been hurt before and we don't want to be hurt again. I have a dear friend that's been through two divorces, unfortunately, and is getting ready to get married again recently, and the whole thing fell apart. And he's still hurting, but he made a wise choice, because once he saw that that person was not godly and was putting on a show and there was fireworks and all this stuff, then he went ahead, and the pain was, and there was embarrassment, and we'll talk about that a minute ago. Instead of just following through with it, he said, no, that person is self-sabotaging, and he had been through enough pain in his past that he could know, I don't want to go down that road. And so I'm so proud of him. So self-sabotage. The second thing is isolation. We talked about that a little bit. The devil will try to isolate you, especially young people and really all people. Some of you have been watching online at home for a long time. All right, it costs too much money to go to church, but you go to Sam's. Gas is too expensive, but you go to the movies, okay? I don't want to go to church because, you know, there are hypocrites there. Again, you go to Walmart. Okay, maybe you don't. You go to Target. Come on, you're classy. I can tell you're classy. But all the places, the spaces that we go, that's an excuse. Go to church. And don't go in isolation. I'm telling you right now, you can go to this church and you can be in the Secret Service forever. You can stay low-key forever and I cannot know you. But here's what you're missing out on. This week, we were on a shoot in Missouri, Florida, for Nicole Crank Show. And I met this girl, and I won't say her name, but she was on Nicole's shoot. And I said, you know, she was out there as a volunteer. And I said, how long have you been going to the church? And she said, like 10 years. And I was like, 10 years? It's really weird because I've never seen you before. And she said, well, I've been at the church for 10 years, but I walked in and I walked out and I never get involved. But recently, I just got involved. And what I regret is that 10 years ago, I didn't get involved. And I said, here we are hanging out, and now I know who you are, and you know who I am, and now we're friends, but for years you were just quiet. And I'm here to tell you I'm fine with that, but it's not healthy. You need to go to church, and you need to be known, and you need to be needed. And so if our groups don't know who you are, and the coffee ministry doesn't know that you haven't showed up in 3 weeks because either you haven't bought a coffee or you haven't served in a coffee, then you could be on your way to hell, and we don't even know. If you don't go serve in the kids ministry, or if you're not in the parking lot ministry, or you're not on the camera ministry, then you're not in a circle of friends. And what you've really done, if you've isolated yourself off in a cave, I don't want to go to growth track. I don't care. We'll fast track you and get you in the super track. But what you got to do is you got to get around community of believers, because we got to stop asking, why are you here? Why are you here overeating again? Why are you abusing alcohol again? Why are you doing this again? And no judgment, because I'm saying all of those things come to me. I've been in a sabotage mode for a couple weeks of bad appetite. It seems like in the middle of the night, I was talking to my daughter-in-law in Florida this last week about it, like somehow my blood sugar drops or something about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I find myself in the kitchen eating at 2 or 3, somewhere there. Then I go back to bed, and my body's trying to digest everything, and it's trying to go to sleep. But then I did that like 3 or 4 nights, and she said, what is going on? I said, I think I'm like a little baby. I've gotten used to a midnight feeding. And so anybody know what I'm talking about right now? And so I think my body's like, rah, 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 go get me a cookie. I'm like, okay, I'll get up and get you a cookie. But the last 2 nights I've been training the little joker. By that I mean myself. And last night when I woke up, I'm like, you're not doing that. And I woke up today, I thought, did I do it? Did I not do it? I was sleeping. Oh my gosh, I was so proud of myself. I didn't do it. And I'm going to try again tonight. I'm going to try. Be like, wah, wah, wah. And I'm going to say, shut up, stop it. Just because Nicole is snoring like a trucker doesn't mean that you got to get up and go out. I didn't mean it. Okay, let's talk about past hurt. Past hurt. Nicole's trying to get over that. Anybody had any past hurt? You can't help but take that past hurt into this stuff. I think Elijah in the cave is dealing with self-sabotage, isolation, and unresolved hurt. And listen, sometimes you're never going to get over that hurt. You're never going to forget about it. But I talk to some of these little kids that tell me, yeah, my dad used to come into my room every night and molest me from the time I was 6 till I was 13. You're probably never going to get over that. But you can get above it by saying, I'm going to use what the devil meant for evil to turn it around for my good. And what didn't kill me made me stronger. And the devil must have saw that I was going to be a threat to hell. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to tell my story like Pastor Nicole did. Yes, I was molested. Yes, I was raped. Yes, I was an unplanned mother. But look at what God did. Make the devil pay. And the devil will say, what are you doing here? And you go, telling my testimony that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Somebody ought to give him praise in the house of God today. Bad habits. We don't even need to go there. You can fill in the blanks. Life management. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit tomorrow. I mean, next week. But you got to manage your life. I think that when Elijah got under that tree and was suicidal, he didn't manage his life well. So he was tired. It's dangerous to be tired and alone. It's dangerous to be tired, hungry, hangry, and alone. You got to take care of yourself. You got to figure out hobbies. And I know I'm going a little bit longer, but give me 2 minutes. Play racquetball. Play mini golf. Play something outside where you get vitamin D. Don't spend your whole life with this on your head, killing somebody on a video game to where you desensitize everybody and everybody's fine now going to the mall because they've done it so much, they're used to that. I'm saying, hey, let's get outside. I'm not against video games. I don't want wives going, I told you, Bob, you're stupid, you're playing video games. No, if he likes that, let him do it. But I'm just telling you, there's something about you being connected to the earth. There's even something about you taking off your shoes and being grounded and be on grass and ground and feeling. There's something about getting your hands so full of dirt, like even if you're not a gardener, go dig around in the dirt a little bit. And then later when you're home too and you're like, my gosh, yes. Oh, don't want to do that. It'll break you from all kinds of bad habits. I'm just saying today that you've got to make sure that you manage your life. And part of management, as I close, is this. If you can't manage to go to church for 1 hour, and there's 24 hours in a day, and you have 7 days a week, and you can't give 1 hour, your life is out of control, and your kid's life will be out of control. I'm still telling you, church is the answer. Jesus is the answer, but you find him at church. I'm gonna shout it again if you didn't hear me. Jesus is the answer, but he lives at the church. Life management. The last one's pride. And we're gonna unpack so much more. By the way, that was 2 pages and I have 12 just for this weekend, but I can't unpack it all. My eyes were bigger than my stomach. Or you listened slower than I thought you would. Pride. So many times, pride causes us to isolate because we can't let anybody know that we've got this. I can't let them know I got a chink in my armor, man. Can't let them know. Chances are they probably already know. If they live with you, they already know. But if you'd come to them and you'd grab them by the cheek and you'd tell them, hey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You'd be surprised what it does for them, but you'd be really surprised what it does for you, because you'll leave the room going, you know what? I don't want to get married again. I don't want to. And just this week, Saturday, Nicole was telling me, she came to me yesterday, and she says, hey, listen, I was talking to my friend, and they were at a birthday party, and I saw him at a party, and he was looking older, and I thought it makes sense, because we haven't seen him before COVID, and he looked older, and his grandkid was climbing on him, and he looked so happy. And she woke me up, and my hair was crazy, and she looks at me, and she says, I'm glad we're going to get older together. I'm glad that I've seen you when you're young, and I want to see you when you're old. And I said, you see me right now, I look crazy. My breath is stinky. And she looked at me like only she could look at me. She grabbed me because she's been abused. She's been hurt. But her pride probably said, don't tell him that, because you've been abused by guys. Don't tell him that, because if you tell him that, he might leave you or he might use it against you. No, at some point, Nicole said, you know what? I'm going to drop my pride and tell him that I love him, which only opened up the floodgates to me. And I was like, I love you. And tattoo on arm. Grandson on arm. Somebody ought to shout amen. The whole family is on the heart before it's on the mind. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. Stand up with me. Now I'm thrown off. I don't know. I'm seeing stars. I have a question to ask you. Florida, thanks for coming out this morning. Online, thanks for being there. And I want you not to be afraid of being afraid anymore. God's called you to do some really big things. And all the stupid stuff that's happened to you up to this point, if you spin it and use what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. And every Sunday when you go to church and you learn these principles, it'll make you better. The young people, heart hurts for you so bad. I was telling Nicole today, I'm like, I gotta figure this out with the young people. I don't get it. Because when I was your age, I didn't have all the pressures you've got. You guys are under tremendous pressure, and there's so much stuff coming after you. But I can tell you this, the answer is still the same. His name is Jesus. And if you'll just talk to Jesus and kind of turn the phone off a bit and get some real friends and do what I did, just kind of like run through the park with your shoes off. And I'm going to do that. Just do it. Try it for me. Go have a snow cone, talk to real people, pet a dog. And so many times. Matt, come here 1 second, Matt. I was talking to Matt this week, and we were doing some Bobcat work together on some church property. And Matt's just a contractor. But Matt told me, he said, he just started crying to me on a job site. He said, man, I was abused as a kid. Was told kids are to be
seen and not heard.
Seen and not heard. And he said, I had all this trauma in my childhood. He said, I don't know what it caused you to be you. But I'm telling you, you keep doing what you're doing because we got a lot of people to help. And he began to unpack a lot of personal pain in his life. Give me a mic for 1 second. I know we're going long. If you got to leave, I know we're 7 minutes over the record time, but just real quick, like, I know you went through stuff. Give me 2 minutes.
Well, just in the past 3 years, just got divorced, went through a whole bunch of things where I actually went to my therapist and said, look, it's easy to blame other people. Why am I choosing these people that are doing this to me? She said, now we can start. So I went back through all this inner child healing with my mom, everything, attachment styles, trauma bonding, narcissistic stuff, codependency, and I spent almost a year on my face before God, pleading those psalms, asking God, circumcise my heart, Lord, show me what's going on with me. Do that work inside of me so that I can be healed and that I can be right for myself and my kids and the people that are around me. And, you know, I was just telling him, like, do you know what he's gone through? What he's stood for, what his family has gone through so that he can stand up here and minister to us. I love you, man.
I love you too, buddy.
I love you.
Come on, somebody. I want to pray for everybody as we go. And you can tell he's been through some stuff.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, so you turn the sounds gonna be on.
No, so when he said the other day, he said, when I stand here and I preach this stuff, it's because I've gone through it. When he stand there and ate fake bologna sandwiches in his trailer park, we didn't have anything. You know, it's okay for him to be blessed because we're blessed to be a blessing to others. And when you go through these things prophetically, when your life is poured out as a drink offering and a burnt sacrifice for the flock, that's not a hireling. He's a shepherd.
So sweet. So sweet. Amen. Let's pray. God, we just come into agreement right now with every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's listening. God, at Royal Palm, at West Palm Beach, Florida, walk in and out of that high school today. There in Royal Palm, God, touch them in the chapel in the overflow. Let nobody leave today like they came.
Yes, Lord.
And God, I thank you for every person that has the trauma bomb, the emotional pain, self-sabotaging behavior, God. God, we just lay it all at the foot of the cross today. And we thank you, God, that we're going to take notes from Elijah and we're going to come out of the cave and we're going to ask ourselves, what are you doing here? And we're going to ask ourselves, why are you not here around God's people in Growth Track serving? Because if we're not serving, we're not swerving. God, help us to reach out to people in our communities to bring them over the next 3 weeks to get a hold of this teaching that can literally change their lives. And Satan, I rebuke depression and anxiety. You must go. Sleep disorders must go. Suicide tendencies must go. Cutting must go. When you enter into this house, these people are going to leave delivered and set free by the power and the presence of Jesus Christ himself. And if you agree with that today, shout a big amen. And amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand of praise. Come on, you can do better than that. We love you, Lord, for your word. We love you for your church. We thank you for what you did today.